treating people right. When the amplifiers are cooled down, the guitar's put away. I put that Vic in the hammer lane, and this is what I'll say. Well, that road.
Welcome to That One Show with Brian Combs, and we are wrapping up spooky season 2023 by ranking our 13 favorite horror films of all time. And helping me do that, returning to the show today, one and only Natalie Combs. Natalie, how are you?
I'm doing good.
So, we watch a lot of scary movies in our house year round and have for a long time. My dad started showing me horror films when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I watched Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 6. Watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre around that same time. All the Friday 13ths. It didn't matter. The bloodletting, the gore, the nudity, the cussing, anything went in my household. I didn't let you start watching scary movies when you was 5 or 6, but you've been watching them for quite a few years now, correct?
Yep.
And you enjoy them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what we're going to do today, and I like this because I'm, you know, in my 40s, you're in your teens, so we're obviously two different generations. So it'd be interesting to me if I pick anything more recent, or all back when I was young, and if you pick anything from back in the day, or most of the stuff from modern times.
I feel like it's going to be like modern old people movies, modern old people movies.
And by old people movies, you mean stuff from the 70s and 80s
and
90s.
I mean, like, yeah.
All right, then. So, what we're going to do, the first, we're going to take turns picking 13 through 1. As you all know, we usually do a top 10, but in honor of spooky season, all month long, we've been doing top 13.
I say we do rock, paper, scissors on who goes first.
No, we're going to flip a coin.
All right.
So whoever, I'll let you call it, and whoever wins actually gets the odd picks, gets one more pick and the number one. So that means you'd get 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. Another person has to do 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2. So I'm going to let you call it in the air, Natalie. Heads or tails?
Heads.
It is tails.
Unlucky tails.
I swear.
All right. Without further ado, I'm going to kick us off with at number 13 with Poltergeist.
Okay.
I'm writing that down, and I'll explain why. To me, it is one of the great gateway horror movies. It's PG-13. It is from 1982. You watched it last year.
I had seen it before that. Yeah. I actually think that was one of the first horror movies I seen.
It's one of the first ones I showed to you, and then I think it's one of the first any parent should show to a kid, because there's really not a lot of nudity. There's not really a lot of, like,
is there any
gore?
Nudity?
No.
I didn't think so.
There's not a whole lot of gore, but it's a perfect haunted house film. Steven Cyborg produced it. A lot of people act like he directed it. There's an argument between him and Tobe Hooper, Tobe Hooper also directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that may or may not make our list. If you've not seen Poltergeist, I don't know what you've been doing the last 40 years. Craig T. Nelson is the dad. The tree, the clown, the TV.
The skeletons,
which are real, by the way, because they were starting to run into budget issues, and they literally went and got some real skeletons down the road from a scientific research facility.
That explains the curse, but that's too much of a story to
get
into.
Caroline. Right? Come to the light, Caroline. And the creepy psychic that comes in, that's a lot of midget, but not quite a normal-sized person either.
She's like CeeLo.
What? Midget? Little person, dwarf, whatever you want to be called.
Little person.
A sawed-off shotgun.
You're going to have to cut. That's messed up.
I ain't cutting nothing. We don't cut nothing on this show. But okay. You do enjoy Poltergeist, right? So
yeah.
You're not going to veto it at number 13, correct?
No, I do enjoy that movie. I would say it's a little bit higher, but it didn't make my list, so I'm just going to leave it there.
All righty. So that's my first pick. We'll get rid of your first pick momentarily. We get in that, we forgot one piece of bookkeeping at the beginning. We do each have a veto, either to move a movie higher or keep it off the list entirely. I forgot to mention that. Without further ado, what's your first pick and the number 12 horror film of all time, Natalie?
Tusk. If anybody listening to this has seen this movie, they will just know. You're going to have to go watch it yourself. It's on HBO Max. And it is not only a horror movie, but it's a dark comedy, and man, is it messed up.
So, yeah, we've watched this movie twice.
I've watched it three times.
I've watched it twice with you. I'd keep it off the list if it was any higher. It's your like guilty pleasure personal pick. I'll leave it at number 12.
It's just so entertaining.
It's written and directed by Kevin Smith, and it's the only Kevin Smith film that you've seen so far, which is crazy because he made some bangers back in the 90s, Clerks, Mallrats, Jane Silent Bob, Chasing Amy, etc., etc., and this is a horror comedy. It's absurd.
Basically, the premise of it is this guy gets kidnapped, and he's just a terrible person, but you can't help but feel sorry for him. He gets kidnapped by this psycho guy who's obsessed with walrus tusks, and he gets turned into a walrus.
Spoiler alert.
That's not a spoiler. At the main beginning.
And the star of it's Justin Long, who's in a bunch of horror movies, and it never ends well for the poor feller. If he's in a movie and it's a horror film, you know that it ain't going to end well for this feller. He was in Jeepers Creepers. He was in last year's Barbarian. The new Goosebumps show on Hulu. So they have scream queens such as Jamie Lee Curtis and whatnot. I guess he is a scream king. So do you have anything else to add about Tusk? I recommend watching it if you like goofy, absurdist horror films.
But you just can't take it serious.
Do not take it serious. please don't. So we'll move on to my second pick and the number 11 pick overall. And I am going with The Witch.
That movie's pretty good. It was just a little bit boring for me. It was just too slow pace for my liking.
But you're not going to veto it?
No, I'm going to save my veto.
Alrighty. The Witch, Anna Taylor-Joy. It's set back in 1700s New England. And they exile her family. Her dad's a pastor. They exile him and all her family out. So they have to literally move to the woods and create a shack. And they've got a billy goat named Black Phillip. I don't want to spoil anything, but it is a slow burn, but it is so creepy. Perfect watch during the autumnal season when the leaves and stuff are starting to change. She's fantastic in it. It's not a real long movie. It's about 1 hour and 35 minutes. You can get in and out real quick. You don't have to dedicate 3 or 4 hours to it. I've watched it the last 2 Halloween seasons. Well, again, this year. Natalie, do you have anything to add about The Witch?
No, not really. I don't remember much about that movie.
I think you fell asleep when I tried to show it to you.
I think so, too.
Even though it's not one of those quote-unquote old people movies, because it was just made like 4 or 5 years ago, it is slower paced.
It is real slow paced.
A baby gets eaten.
Hush!
That's in the first 5 minutes.
But I don't need to know that. All right.
You like to see babies.
Just a heads up, there's going to be spoilers from now on, from this point forward, so just be ready for that.
Yeah, that's a blanket spoiler warning. Okay, Nat, what's your second pick in the number 10 best scary movie of all time?
The Ring.
The Ring. This is one of those quote-unquote old people movies because guess what?
It's
22 years old.
It is the first horror movie that I remember watching with you guys, and I remember that entire night I just like could not fall asleep, and every time like I would go up to the bathroom, I felt like she's just gonna crawl out from like my TV and come after me.
Yes, that's by far the money shot of the movies, when Samara, the dead girl from the tapes in the ring, crawls out of the TV, and I can't describe to you of how frightening that was in a dark theater.
I remember I used to do prank calls a lot, and I would just call people and be like, 7 days. So, it's a pretty good movie for, like, introducing people into horror.
Right.
And it's just a classic.
Love that movie. Still scary. Holds up 20-some years later. Even the special effects are a little bit dated, but the creepiness of it, Naomi Watts' performance holds up. And by the way, I'm not doing it. I got no notes.
I don't either.
And all this shit's off the top of my head because I am a walking encyclopedia of pop culture knowledge. I just know stupid stuff that has no value whatsoever to anybody other than myself, because I know stuff. And it's because I read the credits. Dixie, you and Mom, Natalie, ask me all the time, how do you know that person's name? It's because I take the time on TV shows and movies to read the credits at the
You've
beginning.
You've got
or
too
end.
Much time on your hands.
No, then people put a lot of work in it, and I want to see who it was. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with my pick at number 9.
Let me talk to you a minute about my good friend, John Thompson, specifically his law office located in Grayson, Kentucky. John has years of experience in all sorts of legal issues and matters, especially divorces, criminal defense, personal injury, and property situations. If you are a resident of Kentucky and you have a legal need in any of those or any other legal need for that matter, trust me when I tell you, John will get the job done. Give him a call at area code 606-475-3174. And I will tell you, this has been a paid advertisement, but I have been recommending John and his legal expertise to people for years, so it's about damn time I got paid for doing it. Once again, if you need help with any legal matter, call John Thompson at 606-475-3174.
I'll be interested, Natalie, to see if we have any of the same movies on our list at all. So far, we haven't. At number 9, I'm taking the original Friday the 13th.
That's a pretty good one. Personally, I don't like it just because...
Yeah, you don't like slashers a whole lot.
No.
But that's my favorite. Subgenres of movies, you've got demons, you've got slashers, you've got paranormal.
I like paranormal.
Yeah.
And psychological.
I like bloodletting. But Friday the 13th, it's not the first slasher, definitely not the last, but I enjoy it. It's got one of the best jump scares of all time at the very end, and it just copied a lot, from the, especially through the 80s, Sleepaway Camp, all kinds of just slashers about young people out in the woods frolicking and having sexual relations and then getting their guts cut out by a masked madman. But... contrary to popular belief, it was not a masked madman in part one. It was Jason's mother. He didn't come around yet until part two. You've actually never seen this film because you just don't watch any Friday the 13th movies.
No.
So are you going to veto it?
No, I think personally I don't like it much, but I think I'm going to save my veto because it does have a big part in horror movies and it is classic.
Alrighty. So, what do you have for us at number 8, Natalie?
I have The Visit. This was also one of those movies that I was just like, the entire time I was sitting there, I was just like, what the hell is going on? What is this? But it was just so entertaining. I think I've seen this movie 5 times.
It's even better when Audrey watches it.
Yes. Watching Audrey, if you're listening to this, horror movies with Audrey's just the best.
So, The Visit is written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, who done The Sixth Sense. He's done some more recent movies, Old, Signs. Knock on the Cabin, Signs. One of my favorites is not really a horror movie, is Unbreakable. He also done Split, Glass.
Awesome.
So he's made some really good movies. He's also made some horrible movies like The Happening, but we won't get into that. This premise is these two kids, probably, what you say, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, somewhere around that ballpark.
I'd say
they
right.
go stay with their grandparents.
But they had never met their grandparents.
Never met them and only seen them in pictures and stuff. And things are not as they seem. And we'll leave it at that.
Yahtzee. It's Yahtzee.
All right. I won't veto that. If it was any higher than this, I probably would have kept it off, but I'll leave it. And, so it's now my time to pick number 7. I'm trying to do the math here on how many picks I have left.
Yeah, me too.
I have 4 picks left.
So that leaves me 3?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to go here at number 7 and do The Shining. Unless you want to veto it.
Nope. I think that's a pretty good movie, actually. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I showed it to you last year. Stephen King wrote it. Stanley Kubrick adapted it for the screen, written and directed by...
I always felt bad for Shelley Duvall.
Yes, she plays the mother in it, and she generally went through hell. Stanley Kubrick's famous for putting his actors through absolute hell.
They ain't acting.
But the performances in this, Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, basically there's only four actors in the whole movie almost, really. And three, really, for the most part of it, the mother, the son, and the dad. Obviously, Jack Nicholson goes crazy. They're holed up in this mountaintop resort, just them, for the whole winter. They get snowed in. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, obviously. Here's Johnny. It's iconic. The twins, the old person coming up out of the bathtub. Yeah. This is one of the best horror movies ever made. Stephen King famously hates it. He says it's the worst adaptation of any of his works, and I've never understood that.
Of course he hates something everybody else likes.
But it's so different from the book is why. Yeah. Way, way different, but we won't get into that. You've never read a book. Not one that ain't got pictures.
They don't even know who the disembodied voice is.
That's Dixie back there in the background, by the way. So we'll leave The Shining at number 7. We'll let you do one more pick, Nat, before we take a real quick break.
I'm going to
rank number 6.
Number 6, Split.
I'm vetoing it. I can't have two not M. Night Shyamalan movies on this list. He's not that good. I'm sorry. You got one on here. I can't.
I choose another one?
You have
then?
To.
Okay. Yeah. Give me a second to do my math.
You've got three picks left.
Then I'm going to do Malignant.
Malignant. All right. Love it. Talk about that. Try not to go into too many spoilers for this one, because this one's only been out about a year and people not have seen it.
Oh, this is sacred?
Well, no, I mean...
Well, I can't really get into it without spoiling it, for the most part.
You can.
Okay, so...
It's a big surprise.
There's just a big surprise, but we'll just say that there is a murder going around.
The first of the movie doesn't match the last part of the movie.
Yeah. It's not what you've seen, but it is so worth it. You're going to be like, oh, this is so slow, what do they make me watch? But the last 20 minutes are crazy.
Yeah. So, there is something that happens probably two-thirds of the way in. You'll know what's going to happen when the antagonist goes to jail. And for whatever reason, she's the only straight person in the jail. And it's obvious. There's like 15 people in there, and all of them are like...
What you doing there,
butch lesbians, except for her. So, you probably are kind of getting frustrated with the movie by this point because it's just so slow and nothing's happened. But perk up once she goes to jail because all hell's breaking loose, and we'll just leave it at that. But I love this pick, Malignant. It's all right. So we'll take a very brief break, come back with my pick at number 5, and we'll go from there. All right, at number 5, I'm going to take Scream from 1997.
Yeah.
Horror was getting very stale at this point. It totally reinvigorated the genre, totally.
And it has one of the best final girls ever.
Yeah, Sydney, there's a reason why they kept making movie after this. She's awesome. Courtney Cox is great in it. David Arquette's great in it. Drew Barrymore's great in it. And what I can't tell you, I remember watching this in theaters, and this was pre to where everybody could get on the internet. And the whole advertising campaign for the film was Drew Barrymore finally being in a horror movie.
You're thinking that she's going to be the main star.
And she's by far, at this time, the making of it, even though the other ones got famous after, the most famous person. So we all get there opening weekend, and I'll be damned if they don't brutally kill her 5 minutes in the movie, and everybody was like, what in God's name is going on? Because nobody had ever done that before. But it's also self-referential, written by Kevin Williamson, who also created and wrote and directed Dawson's Creek. So there you go.
Dawson is insane.
Directed by the great Wes Craven, who also done the franchise Nightmare on Elm Street. You still got a veto? Do you want to use it on this, or are you going to let Scream stand at number 5?
No, I was actually going to rank it next, so I'm just going to go with that.
All righty. So that leaves us each with 2 picks. Natalie at number 4. What you got?
Silence of the Lambs.
Love it.
A lot of people would be like, oh, that's more of a thriller, but I count it as a horror movie.
Love it.
I absolutely love this movie. I love Hannibal. I cannot hate him. I know I just can't.
He's going to have somebody for dinner.
Well, you root for him.
I do root for him because I know he was terrible, but like his doctors and stuff But they just get, they get what's coming to
and
them.
And you can make an argument that the people that he killed was not great people.
No, no, they kind of, I don't know about the getting eaten part, but.
Well, that was just, that was just the icing on the cake.
That was the cake.
And also another good, I don't know if you'd call her a final girl, maybe, yeah. But I love her.
One of the few horror films to ever receive Oscar recognition, and not only did it receive Oscar recognition, it's the last and one of the very few films to sweep the main categories. It won Best Director, Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Actress. That's not been done since, and many people think it may never be done again. Anthony Hopkins, Jodie Foster, Jonathan Demme, an absolute masterpiece. I'm so glad that you ranked it at number 4. It deserves to be on this list. All right. So I've got 2 picks and you've got 1. I've got 3 movies I'm debating about here because I know none of them's probably going to be on your list. And I got to go at number, and you may very well veto, and that's fine. If you do, I can just put the other one that I was thinking about here. I'm going to go at number 3, The Exorcist.
I veto it.
All right, it's off.
I mean, it is a really good movie, but I just don't see it at number 3.
I understand. Now, can I say something real quick about it?
Yeah, it was revolutionary.
I watched this when I was 11, late at night. My mom and dad were gone shopping. All by myself. It scared the shit out of me because I had to go poop. I got so nervous. I turned every single light on in the house and waited for them to come home that night.
If
I was
you,
so scared.
If you would have ranked it a little bit lower, I probably would have left it on the list, but no.
All right.
It's also a slow burn.
It is a really big slow
burn.
So
at number 3, I'm going Jaws.
Oh. No.
Just get out of the water.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I should have left The Exorcist. Can I take that back?
Jaws, to me, is a perfect film.
No, just stay out of the ocean.
Well, just let me talk about it. Here, you can't veto it, so you got nothing to say about it.
Can I take my veto back?
Nope, you sure can't. Once it's gone, it's gone. I mean, Steven Spielberg, again here, such a perfect film. One of the great jump scares. One of the great last acts of a film. Quint, the old sailor, is one of my 4 or 5 favorite characters in cinema history. His death is as wild as it gets. Practical effects that still hold up 45, 50 years later almost. I had the privilege of seeing this at the Kentucky Theater on the big screen for the first time a couple months ago, and it may be my favorite movie-going experience of my entire life. You all refused to watch it with me, so I watched it by myself. The beer that Quint drinks in it, they had it for sale. I sipped on a couple of those and really, really enjoyed myself. Jaws at number 3. We'll take our very last break. We've each got 1 pick left. No vetoes left. So whatever's played at 2, and whatever's played at 1 will stand. This is That One Show. We'll be right back. Natalie, this is your very last pick. Number 2, the second best horror. This is a damn good list, by the way. I'll go over it again once we've got all of them ranked, but I think we're doing a great job, if I do say so.
Yeah,
myself.
I'm a little bit upset with how it's turning out because I got a pick in between 2. So, I kind of was hoping when I vetoed The Exorcist you'd put one of these on your list. But at number 2, I'm going to put Hereditary.
Love that pick. And I would venture to say you're probably trying to pick between that and Midsommar, right?
Yep, that's exactly
and
right.
Ari Aster directed both of these. Both of them are masterpieces. Both of them are the type of movie that just gets in your head and works you over, and you think about them for hours and sometimes days on end. Love this pick. I would have been happy with either. Go ahead and talk about Hereditary a little bit.
I mean, it's also one of those ones that, like, when you think you know what's going on, you're kind of like, I'm not going to spoil the end, but it's probably not what you expect. Especially, I'm just going to say, the light pole scene, and I'm just going to end it there.
Let me say that we touched on this a minute ago. Very rarely will horror films get recognized by the Academy. Toni Collette, that plays the mom in this, didn't even get nominated for anything.
That is crazy.
And she should have won.
She was insane in this movie. Like,
the girl's head should have won.
Her level of acting in this movie is just out of this world.
I love this pick. It means Midsommar's not going to make our list.
I hate how that turned out because I really think it should have been in the top 5.
I mean, that's all right. Let's each do, we'll do that Midsommar as an honorable mention. Florence Pugh, again, going back to Toni Collette. Didn't get nominated for anything.
Which is crazy.
Let's do a couple quick honorable mentions.
Before our number 1 pick.
Yeah. Night of the Living Dead, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre are my honorable mentions. Those are obvious ones. It's in a lot of people's top 5 and 10. I'm sorry they didn't make the list. They're both worthy to be on here. Watch them if you never have or again.
My honorable mention is going to be Midsommar, which I just watched this movie for the first time about a week ago.
Yep.
And it was really good, the acting, and it was really good. It was messed up, though.
You didn't get to see
one. Give me one more honorable mention.
And another honorable mention is probably going to be Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
We just rewatched this last night. It's such a good comedy. It has the perfect amount. It has the perfect amount of horror and gore, but it has like such a good sense of humor to it.
Yes. It's about friendship. All right, so this is our list. I'm going to count down and announce the number one, which you can't do anything about. Number 13, Poltergeist. Number 12, Tusk. At number 11, The Witch. Number 10, The Ring. Number 9, The Original Friday the 13th. Number 8, The Visit. Number 7, The Shining. Number 6, Malignant. Number 5, Scream. Number 4, Silence of the Lambs. Number 3, Jaws. Number 2, Hereditary. And the number one, unequivocally undisputed, best horror film of all time from 1978, John Carpenter's Halloween. And let me just tell you, I love this movie with all my heart.
Best final girl ever.
The best opening, the best songs, scores, everything about it is so perfect. Made for almost nothing, pennies on the dollar. Generated a $1 billion franchise, kicked off the modern horror movie. By modern, I mean like not black and white from the 1930s and 40s. With the exception of Psycho, really, really implanted the slasher as a genre of horror film. Michael Myers is iconic. Jamie Lee Curtis, as Natalie chimed in, best final girl of all time, the GOAT. No way around it. She's been in several of these movies since then, even up to just a couple years ago. The kills in it. I love it. I'm almost ashamed to say that one time I showed you this movie when you were 5. Do you remember that? And you laughed.
Yeah.
Your mom was gone, and it was in October. She was on an overnight trip, and I said, I'm just going to show her Halloween. And you not only stayed awake for the whole time, you laughed at parts of the killings. I didn't know whether to be concerned or proud.
Like the part whenever he just like comes out of nowhere, it just, I don't know.
John Carpenter's made so many great films. This is my favorite of his. It's one of my 5 favorite movies of all time. It's my favorite horror movie of all time. You all got me a special edition of it from my birthday a few weeks ago. It had the score on vinyl and it on 4K. I watched it a few days ago. It looked tremendous. And I just can't recommend this movie enough.
I pretty much agree with that. I do hate that Midsommar didn't make the list, and it's kind of a crime that Tusk made the list.
That's your fault.
And I did not like count it outright. The fact that Tusk made the list and Midsommar did not.
Regrets.
I do have regrets.
Well, you know, your mom got her first piece of hate mail over Vito and Ghostbusters.
Oh, God, I'm waiting.
And you've not got
I deserve
yet.
It. If I get but, some, I deserve
but
it.
But you may get your first piece of hate mail over Tusk on this. If you're listening to this on social media, just hashtag Tusk sucks, and I'll know that you disagree with Natalie. If you agree with her, just hashtag Tusk rules, and we'll just see how that goes. So, you got anything to add before we shut this down?
Nope.
Natalie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've had a blast. And if you've listened to this show and you're in Child Protective Services, do not come after me because I showed so many of these movies to my child beginning at the age of 5. I appreciate you all. Happy Halloween. And we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming and back to the music next week. Nat has one more thing to say, and I'll let her close the show.
That's Yahtzee!